Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair on the magical isle of Vashon, it is an absolutely beautiful day here. What aviators, wearers of wings of gold would say, Kavu, ceiling and visibility unlimited. Although there is a little hint of some cirrus clouds up there. And cirrus clouds, for a short remembering tutorial on weather and meteorology, cirrus clouds are usually the precursors of rain, and we desperately need some here on the magical Isle of Vashon. I am firmly ensconced in the captain's chair and have had a couple of CASCORs. CASCOR means casualty report, and I will get to those a little bit farther on in the broadcast. But always be reassured that I am of fully good cheer, firmly in the captain's chair, and in full command of all that I still am able to command. My greetings today go out to all of those wonderful people, especially children, who came to be with Captain Joe and with all of the people who were involved in putting together the low tide celebration on Saturday. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a separate segment on this broadcast, but I am in particular sending greetings out to all of those people who believed that they were coming to find the troll, Oscar the Troll, and found that instead of that, or along with that, that there was something much more interesting going on, and they decided that they would be a part of that. So I will talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but those are my greetings today, and especially those who came to us from off-island, and even more so those who thought that they were going to commune with Oscar and found that there was a lot more and much more interesting things happening. The binnacle list today includes a new entry and a new kind of entry because I'm putting my own house, Captain's Quarters, on the binnacle list. I have no water. And my house has a well, and it has a 500-gallon storage tank, and it has a pump that brings the water up out of the well, puts it in the storage tank, and then is taken suction by a boost pump, and that is what provides the line pressure for the house and the rest of the system. I managed, while I was at low tide celebration, a friend was working in my house and apparently worked the well all the way down below the suction and the well suction. I'm not going to go into either the mechanics or the philosophy or the challenges of restoring water in a country system. It'd be enough to say that the gentleman, a friend of many years, who used to be the practitioner for water systems on the island, is no longer in practice. He's fully retired. I talked to him on the telephone and asked him for a referral and learned that he was camping all the way up in the far northwest corner of the state of Washington, had no ability nor intention even for the captain to come and commune with my water system. So that meant that I had to go to people off the island. It was, I started off on a Saturday evening and then spent on Sunday making telephone calls, leaving messages. Apparently, all of the people who work on water systems on the mainland on Sundays go for a pontifical high mass in the cathedral and were not available. And I left messages all over the place. It's sort of like leaving those breadcrumbs that led to captain's quarters. It wasn't until Monday morning that I had a promise from one company, a promise not to be fulfilled. And finally, I found somebody who would come out and worked on my system. In the meantime, the 500-gallon water tank needs to be refilled, and it needs to be refilled slowly because we've not had any rain. The water table is all the way down to China. And it is theoretically only a 25-foot dug well. So it takes a long time. My much-loved son and his wife, Barbie, much-loved Barbie, are with me today for the long 4th of July weekend. He has been entrusted with working with the pump to bring the water up out of the well in a slow and measured way. And so that's where we are. That's my binnacle list on my house. But in other cases, my friend and colleague David in the Midwest is had to go back and have some more testing done. And I, of course, failed once again with Mr. Foley. So the month of July is going to be taken up with a whole series and sequences of tests. And one way or another, we're going to get on top of this whole thing. And in the meantime, I am now up to attempt number 6 coming up in the middle of July, and failure number 5. Your captain does not fail with equanimity. And so I need to make sure that I am following all of the protocols. I'm doing pretty well at that. And in the meantime, July is fraught with tests, inspections, and other things going on. One of these ways, one way or another, we will get it fixed. And in the meantime, I remain, as always, of good cheer and up in the captain's chair, which takes me to my boat, Midori. I have now, as I reported last week, exchanged a check for ownership of Midori, and we have not yet executed the title and registration documents because I want to remain as a partner with the people from whom I'm buying it, part of my road family, so that Midori can remain in her slip until I can acquire my own personal membership in the Quartermaster Yacht Club. And hopefully the people who have written my recommendation letters will not cause me to be blackballed and told that my membership is not desired. Should I pass, then I get into the queue for my own slip. But in the meantime, I will be going down to Midori and making her my own in terms of the way that I want her set up and the way that I want her equipped. I'm going to be checking the compass and see whether it needs to be adjusted. I will adjust the compass myself. And in general, make sure that she is ready. Once we execute the title documents, the registration, she becomes then truly mine. And then I will take her out for that first FAM sale, familiarization sale. I'm really looking forward to that. And I reported last week, I think I've had two people out of all of Captain Joe's people who have been congratulating me on my wanting to do this and then making it happen. I've had two people who have sent me signals and said, Captain Joe, you are over, and we know what that number is. Why do you want to get a boat and take it to these places that you are professing that you're going to take it? That includes the San Juan Islands, that includes up into the Inside Passage of Canada, and should it please me to do it, to sail to Hawaii. I could do it. It would be a long slog. I'm not sure that who I would take with me to be my XO on that, but certainly I could do it. And so I am, as soon as Jeff and Carolyn, from whom I'm buying the boat, return from their 4th of July adventures in PDX, we're going to spend a day, and I get check myself out in all of the systems, flush the toilet, figure out how to drain the holding tank, and all of the other things that go with that. I'm going to talk a little bit about the low tide celebration. We spend a year in the planning. I start the first meetings in January, but we set the date almost immediately after the completion of a particular year. So this year, at the end of July, we will have a wash-up meeting, an after-action meeting at Captain's Quarters, in which we all get together. We have a few drinks together. We have some food together. We tell some stories. And then we decide when the next one will be for 2026. So that decision is taken this year. It'll be taken in July. And then in either December or January, I will convene the first of the planning meetings, in which we get started with the process. This year, we had a number of new participants, but every one of these participants was somebody who was connected either directly or indirectly with the health of Puget Sound. It warms the cockles of your captain's black heart to lead this particular group of people, because they are, first of all, either fully professional in their own pursuits, or extremely gifted amateurs. And secondly, they are people of great energy and enthusiasm. And thirdly, they have committed themselves to the captain's ideas of why we do this, in particular for the children. Because if we don't get these children at this age, starting at around preschool and all the way up through the teen years, and begin them to be thinking about how they need to steward the world in which we live, and that includes their behavior toward the people around them. And we deal with all of these things, and we had 15 kiosks set up, and right in the middle was one which was manned, actually not manned, ladied by staff from the Vashon Library. And they had wonderful children's activities, making all kinds of crafts, and there were stories, and there were books, and there were just these lovely people whose profession is to get young people to read. And read real books, not these things you hold in your hand that are electronic, but real books that have bindings and pages. And the pages are numbered. And they have print. And these lovely ladies, their job is to get kids to do that. And they fulfilled that part of their mission, and that was right in the middle. And then all around them were people from the Vashon Nature Center and from, it has another name now, but to me it's always the Audubon Society, and from the Pacific Poison Center. Mr. Yuck was there. Mr. Yuck bobbing around all over the place. There was a group that was talking about plankton and the importance of plankton in our lives, and they had microscopes set up so that kids could look in the microscopes and see the actual animals swimming around. And the other, there were from the State Department of Natural Resources and from the county. All of these people who are involved in good and important work. And they all had a place. And then right at noon, we had a marching band. I am telling you, if my cup ever runneth over, it is with a marching band. The first piece of music they played was in the style of the New Orleans funeral bands, Just a Greater Walk with Thee, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. It made me think that maybe for my own funeral, we could have a procession from Point Robinson led by this particular band playing Just a Closer Walk with Thee all the way from Point Robinson all the way to our cemetery. But should that happen, it's a long way off. On that, do you have my hand? But I was thinking in those terms. And one of the people in the marching band was a friend that I had not seen for some time, Jessica. And Jessica's mom, Eleanor, is one of the world's leading authorities on lighthouses, has written many books about it. I tried to get her to write a book about Great Lakes lighthouses. I said, I'll be one of your consultants. But alas, I think that she decided that retirement was for her, and I don't think she ever got to the Great Lakes book. And Jessica's dad Jessica is a Navy brat. Her dad is a retired Navy submariner. And she was part of this marching band, and it was a surprise to see her because I didn't know that she was part of this. So many things happened, so many wonderful people, and I was sitting down in the middle before I moved into the lighthouse, and I had told everybody that I was going to, that they would be able to find me in the lighthouse. But before that, I gave a briefing, which is our custom. I always start the day before we have guests and visitors coming. I start the day with a briefing, and part of my briefing is to say that the objective of the exercise is for all of us to have a good time, to have fun, to enjoy each other, to enjoy the event, and to enjoy the people that come to be with us. After I gave that briefing, I was sitting down at a table right in the middle, right next to the library kiosk where all the children were starting to form up. And I was meditating a little bit on how much slower I have to move. And one of my friends came up and she said, how are you feeling about all of this? And I told her, I said, I regret that I'm not my usual nimble, physically nimble self. And she said, Captain Joe, you have been doing this for so many years. Look at what has been accomplished. Look at how all of these people are working to fulfill the objectives and goals that you set for us at that first meeting. And she said, take it easy. We're all here to help you should you need it. And I said, no, I don't need any help, Aaron. No help needed. But anyway, it was a lovely interlude. And again, if there was any warming of the cockles of my black captain's heart, that was it. My book today is going back to a series that I have always enjoyed and have taken something from, and that is the Patrick O'Brien series about Captain Jack Aubrey and his colleague, the physician, Dr. Stephen Maturin. I was feeling a little bit out of sorts when I came back from my most recent interlude with the ever-lovely Vivian, and I was trawling through my collection, and I found a copy of The Wine Dark Sea by Patrick O'Brien, and of course, it relates some of the adventures of Captain Jack Aubrey. What I like about these books is, first of all, that O'Brien, who has crossed his own bar, and there will be no more Patrick O'Brien and no more Jack Aubrey stories, has done meticulous research. And whenever he's talking about wind directions and current directions and things like that, I plot them out in my own mind to see whether he's gotten it right. And he has done meticulous research in the handling of sailing vessels. So that's the first part. The second part is that the characters in his books are real humans. They have all kinds of faults and flaws. Maturin, Dr. Maturin, chews coca leaves, and it is not unknown that there are occasional forays into bunk rooms that are not necessarily their own. So they are people that are flawed, just like all the rest of us. But what I like about Aubrey is that he takes really good care of his people in the way that was unusual in Napoleonic times. So I found a passage from The Wine Dark Sea. It is at the end of the book. And it and it has to do with the word duty. I talk a lot about duty on this broadcast because it's important to me. I have tried to fulfill it, and I have failed frequently. But if we talk about it in the positive sense that it should, then people for whom the concept is foreign may come to accept it and to fulfill their own duties. So here's a short but pithy passage from the end of The Wine Dark Sea. It often occurs to me, but then my innate nobility of character cries out, "Hey, Jack Aubrey, you mind your duty. Do you hear me there?" I love that expression, "Do you hear me there?" If I had thought about it, I would have used it in my own ships. "Do you know about duty, Stephen?" And Maturin replies, "I believe I have heard it well spoken of." Captain Aubrey says, "Well, it exists. And apart from the obvious duty of distressing the king's enemies, not that I have anything against Americans, they are capital seamen and they treated us most handsomely in Boston, but it is my duty. I say, we also have a duty to the officers and the foremast jacks." Those are his crew. And although sometimes he acts in a way which is a little bit different from the way that I would have done it in my own commands, in almost every case, Captain Jack Aubrey and I are congruent in the way that we think about and talk about the people that we are privileged to command. So my book is The Wine Dark Sea But I recommend any of the books of the Patrick O'Brien series about Captain Jack Aubrey and about his friend and colleague and physician, Dr. Stephen Maturin, who is also an intelligence officer in the service of the Crown. And there's some real complications that get involved with that. The magazine this week, of course, is our old favorite, The Week. So I'm quoting, first of all, from the paragraph, which I always go to this one first. It wasn't all bad. For the first time in nearly a century, a new lady's slipper orchid has been found growing in the wild in England. The flower is close to extinct by the early 20th century, owing to overzealous Victorian collectors and habitat loss. But in 1930, a single specimen was found in Yorkshire. It was protected by volunteers for decades and later spurred efforts to propagate and reintroduce the plant. Now, planted out orchids have produced seeds that have successfully germinated. And I talk about orchids because I am an orchid killer. Orchids are one of my favorite plants. When I returned from my last trip, there was an orchid, and I reported on this last week. I still do not know from whom that orchid came, but it is flourishing. I'm watering it sparingly, following the instructions, and it is flourishing, but I still would like to know from whence did it come. And in the meantime, the house that we are all going to look at and maybe buy, actually it's not in Cambridgeshire, but it's a lighthouse. The title of the column is Impressive Coastal Houses. It is in Caithness. I don't know where Caithness is. I have to look that up. Anyway, it is the Holborn Head Lighthouse. A striking B-listed, that means that it is historically protected, a striking B-listed lighthouse and tower overlooking, Pentland Firth. The property was built in 1862 and has been sensitively restored. I love that expression, it's been sensitively restored. Three bedrooms, one ensuite, a family bath, that means the family takes the bath all together. Kitchen, two reception rooms, that means living rooms, studio, garden, and garage. It's priced at £450,000 sterling. We could afford that. We could buy that. And it is just a wonderful photograph. I cannot tell from the photograph whether or not the original Fresnel lens is still in it. I will tell you, though, that our Fresnel lens is still in our lighthouse. I only have a minute left, so I have to report on this. One of the things that happened to me during the week was that I had a call from one of my Ingham shipmates, and he wants to sponsor me for membership in the Coast Guard Combat Veterans. I am, of course, eligible for membership in that. I've never belonged to it before. But Dick asked me if he could support me in that membership. I told him that he could. So I will look forward to that, and I will report on what is involved with that and with their newsletter. Dick told me that one of the newsletters of which he's sending me a copy included an article about my Ingham, and of course I will move Mount Rainier in order to be able to talk about that. The other thing is that I've just learned that this is Anything for Cats Month. Maybe next week I'll give everybody a Blossom report. There are a couple of other things that obviously we're not going to be able to get to. We'll hit them next week. In the meantime, we have come, as always, too quickly to our time together. It is now almost 1,300 hours here on the magical Isle of Vashon. This is your Captain Joe. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. Know how much all of you out there are the treasures of my life. and how much I appreciate everything, all of the articles and leads that you send me, all of the good wishes and encouragement that come my way on an almost hourly basis. I am indeed the most fortunate of men to have all of you in my life. Not only that, but all of you remain, as always, in the palm of my hand. This is indeed your Captain Joe. I remain, as always, on station and watching properly.